today's I think there is, yeah. Good morning. Praise the Lord. The scripture in that, does anybody do the YouVersion daily scripture? Today's scripture was a good one for reminding us. If I can find it here, hang on a second. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. Sometimes it's easy on, especially Sunday mornings after a busy week, to just kind of be, just chill. But I'm encouraging you to press in this morning. Worship the Lord with all your heart, with all your being, with all your might, with all your soul. And you'll be rewarded, because as we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. Not that He's away from us at all. He lives inside of us. But when we focus on Him and set our attention on Him and our gaze on Him, something happens in us. It's supernatural. You can't put your finger on it. You can't say, oh, it happened at this very second. But it's happening in us. It's alive in us. God's alive in us. The Holy Spirit's alive in us. So shake off those shackles, those chains, any preconceived ideas of what you think it means to worship God. And let's just enter into praise and worship. First song is, oh, come, let us adore Him. Let us adore Him this morning. Not just the baby who was born in a manger in Bethlehem, but let us worship and adore the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who redeemed us, the one who saved us, the one who's delivered us, the one who's taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son of His light. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, we're thankful, Lord, to be together. Lord, we know that the weather outside is, as the song says, frightful. But Lord, we're going to spend a delightful time with You this morning. We're going to let our hearts engage, Lord, with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with the Heavenly Father, with the Holy Spirit. We're going to let the full works of the Godhead happen in our lives today. We just believe that right now. We ask, Lord, that You would just draw us to Yourself, Lord, as we draw near to You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Set her up.
Peace keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Oh, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. miracles unfold today. It's who you are. It's who you are. Yeah. Oh, never stop working. No, you never stop working. Yeah, you never stop working. Yeah, you never stop working. No, you never stop working. No, you never stop working. No, you never stop working. Oh, you love the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him till I'm gone. us today, Jesus. And you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. Yeah, that is who you are. And that is who you are. And that is who you are, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. giants fall when you stand defeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say.
Sometimes life is communicating to us things that are contrary to that truth, that we are seated in heavenly places, that we are undefeated. But you know, no matter what our circumstances look like, no matter what we've gone through, no matter what we're about to go through, we are still undefeated. Why? Because we're not the ones that are in ourselves that are undefeated. It's Christ in us. We don't have to let the world move us. We don't have to let circumstances cause us to lose ground. It's because we have the one who is solid inside of us. He lives in us. That's why we can sing that song and say, oh, you know, some sing it, oh, pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. I can't sing this right now. Yes, you can. If Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you can sing the song by faith. You can sing the song, and it is true. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I don't know, I've seen a lot of conquerors in movies and stuff, and it looks like they're victorious. But we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. He is our champion. We're not just necessarily champions, but because we're in Christ, because He lives in us and we live in Him, it makes us champions. Because of His, we're representing the One who has conquered it all. Amen? One more time, Eric.
You are my champion.
Believe it today.
Giants fall when You stand undefeated. Every battle You won. And I am who You say I am. Me with confidence, I'm seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the One who has come. I'm seated in the heavenly place, undefeated with the One who has conquered it all.
Lord, we just thank You that You have made us more than conquerors in You, that You have seated us in heavenly places. No matter what we feel like right now, there's a part of us that's already connected with You in the supernatural realm. And we just thank You for that. I pray that that reality, that truth, Lord, would be made known in lives, Lord, in our lives, Lord, that maybe don't feel it, don't sense it, don't experience it. Lord, that we would come to a place where we would believe it, and we would live it. It would be how we live and move and have our being in You, that we are in You and You're in us, and that we're more than conquerors. We're victorious in You. We just thank You, Lord, that You are the One that is at work in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure. And You never stop working. You are always working. Even when we don't think You're working, we don't see You're working, we don't feel You're working, You are working, Lord. And we thank You for that, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Take a few minutes and greet each other. There's some really delicious cookies over there and coffee. Thank you, Eric.
Good morning, good morning, church. Let's find our seats. How many of you guys had a cookie this morning? I made those fresh this morning. I made those. No, Lexi Villalobos. Can we say thank you to Lexi? She loves doing it, and we're blessed for it. So we're going to do declarations. This is just us prophesying and declaring over our wonderful valley, who quite frankly doesn't always get the best rap around the. You guys ever been anywhere and say you're from Yakima? They're like, oh, okay. I lived outside of Yakima for a while, and it was always fun telling people I was from Yakima. But we're just believing that God is doing something amazing in our city. Amen. So we're gonna make these declarations over the city, over the valley. If you guys could stand with me, we're gonna say this in unison. We're gonna say this with a belief in our heart, even though we maybe haven't seen these things. This is what a declaration is that we're declaring these things, declaring heaven over our city. So here we go on the count of three. One, two, three. Thank You, Lord, for what You are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that You would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that Your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for this city. We thank You, Lord, for this valley. God, I just pray and declare that it is blessed, God. I declare that this land is blessed. I thank You, Jesus, for every person that calls this place home, that every person that works in this city, every person that dwells in this place, God. And we thank you, Lord, that heaven is invading the Yakima Valley, God, and that we will see, Lord, we will see crime rates go down. We will see homelessness go down. We will see drug use go down. We will see families restored. We thank you, Jesus, that you are a good God. You have not forgotten about Yakima, Washington. And we thank you, Jesus, that you love us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. So we are having a Christmas Eve service. So obviously, you know, Christmas Eve is on the 24th. It's on a Saturday. So we're going to come and we're going to, sing some songs, take communion, light some candles. It's going to be a wonderful night. That starts at 4:30. And again, I encourage everyone to invite a friend, invite family members. If they don't have a place to be, this is a great night just to come and connect and just worship with family. And then the next day, we will not be meeting for a Christmas service or for Christmas Day. And so enjoy your families, sleep in. If you have kids, that is not a thing. All right, next slide. And then following the Christmas Eve service, if you like to bake like I do, like I baked these homemade cookies, We want you guys to we're gonna have a time of just hanging out after we do our service on Christmas Eve. And so we would encourage everybody, if you like to bake, bring some Christmas cookies, and we're just gonna come over here in our overflow area and probably have some decaf coffee. I'll drink regular coffee, quite frankly. Throw some Red Bull in there, and we're gonna eat some cookies. And so you can do that. Next slide. And then, is that it? Do we have anything else? Oh, okay. And then thank you for giving. Thank you for sowing into this house. Thank you for sowing into what God is doing in this place. You know, as you all know, like we're a small church. Nonetheless, I believe that God is still utilizing this body to do major things in our community and in our city. And so thank you for whether it's a little or a lot or whatever it is, nonetheless, giving from your heart. We appreciate it. Amen. And so you can give we have an offering box here. We have an offering box in the back, as well as you can give online at onelifefamilyworship.com. And with that, I'm going to invite Esther, right? Esther up. Esther has a testimony that she would like to share. Let's give it up for Esther as she comes up. And pastors, you can join.
Thanks. I just really had to say this. I'll give you a little bit of background about me. I've had a lot of medical problems. I've had like 39 transfusions. Oh, wow. I've had a blood disorder where my body just decided it wasn't going to make any more blood. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And 2 months later, it just disappeared. Who knows?
Praise the Lord.
Of course, they did 3 spinal taps to try and find it out. But I've had cancer twice. I have had peripheral vascular disease. And so I have had over 20 surgeries done on my legs. And this last time, last week, I went Thursday. Well, I went Wednesday and then had my surgery done on Thursday. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But last Sunday, my sister was here, my sister Lil, and she was up here at the altar, and she was praying. And she was praying for me. She's always praying for me. I need it. But, you know, my sister, she is a prayer warrior. Yeah. She is a woman of God. Yeah. And after she had been up here praying, she went and sat by me, and she put her hand on my leg where I was going to have my surgery. And she goes, God said, it's all clear. God said, it's open. Everything is open. I said, thank you, Jesus. And so then I caught my flight on Wednesday and I went and had my surgery on Thursday. And the one that does the ultrasound on me, she's done it for the last 10 years. She started at my ankle and she goes, wow, 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 what are you doing, Esther? And I said, nothing. And she said, there is nothing wrong with your leg. And I said, and I told her, you know what? I'm going to tell you. I said, my sister prayed for me. I said, she is a prayer warrior. I said, and she said, God had opened it up for me. And she said, I don't believe it. And I said, but watch. Guess what? This one is hurting me. And so she had finished this leg, and she didn't, you know, you're only given so much time at the doctor's office to check things out. And she goes, oh, I want to check this, but I don't have enough time. But I'm going to try and do it real quick. I said, okay. Then the receptionist comes in, and she goes, your next appointment canceled. And she goes, oh, I don't, she said, you're going to make a believer out of me, Esther. I said, I hope so. And so she was able to do that and everything. And I did have a bad blockage in this leg. Come to find out that didn't know about it. But, you know, God is so good, and God has been so good to me. Yeah. You know, all my life, no matter what. You know, they tried to tell me I wasn't going to make it twice, but I fooled them. And, you know, and at one point they told my husband, well, you better pick out what nursing home you want to put her in because we can't do anything more for her. But my husband was a believer, too, and he said, uh-uh. And so I had to go to Seattle, but I came out of it, you know. But, you know, the things that happened to me really don't matter. Because God is good, yeah, and God has gotten me through everything throughout all my life. Amen. And I give him all the glory. All the glory. And I'm thankful. Yes.
Wow, does anybody else need to share after that? Really, that's... that. Yeah,
that's amen,
that's,
let's go home.
That's
yeah.
Amen, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it is the Christmas season, isn't it? And sometimes we do Christmas messages and or messages that have to do with the around the birth of Jesus. But today we're going to talk about wisdom. And I don't know why. I don't know why the Lord sometimes leads me to certain verses and scriptures. But when I was reading through Proverbs this past week, I read a proverb a day. Did you guys know that there's like 31 Proverbs? And if you read a proverb a day, except for certain months, you have to read a couple extra to catch up. But you can go through all the Proverbs once a month. And they're really called, the it's called like the Book of Wisdom because it really tells you about how to live life and speaks of wisdom. And so today, we wanted to share on what wisdom means to us, what it has done, what has wisdom has done for us. The Bible refers to wisdom as a her. It's what she has done for us. I know it sounds different, but the reason that I really feel the Lord wants us to see this is because it seems like 90% of the world, maybe even more than that, aren't operating in wisdom right now. There. It's like you've heard the saying, you know, to be successful, you need to observe the masses and do the opposite. Well, doing the opposite would be right now to be in wisdom, to be in a state where we actually are hearing from the Lord. We're hearing what the Lord wants from us, how he wants us to live, how he wants us to move and have our being in him. And I believe wisdom is going to be a key to that. So let's take a look at a scripture. This is actually from the New Testament. And this is Luke 31:35. Let me go ahead and
7,
set the stage.
7:31-35.
Yeah, let me set the stage with this. This is Jesus after speaking to some individuals who had come from John, who were John the Baptist. John was saying, "Now, are you the one who's going to be the Messiah, or should we look for another?" And so Jesus then begins to heal and do all of the things, you know. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. He just performs all these miracles. He says, now go back to John and tell him what you saw. And so they do. And then Jesus talks about, you know, it's blessed those who aren't offended because of me. Then it goes into a little bit about the people who are the lawyers, the tax collectors, not the lawyers, the tax collectors, basically all the sinners that were hanging around Jesus, and how the Pharisees, they weren't receiving him. The religious Jews were not receiving him. And so then this is stated here. Go ahead.
Luke 7.
This is Jesus talking.
31 through 35. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you. You did not dance. We sang a dirge.
Dirge.
Mm-hmm. And you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon. Then the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children.
Wisdom. That's what we're talking about. Wisdom is justified by all her children. So what is this saying? This is kind of a little bit mysterious, excuse me, that Jesus is talking about here. And he's saying, what am I going to compare this generation to? What's it like? And he says, it's like kids who are sitting in the marketplace, children sitting in the marketplace, and they're saying, hey, we sang a song, but you didn't dance. You know, we sang a funeral song, a dirge is like a funeral song, but you didn't mourn, you didn't weep. And then you're looking at me kind of puzzling too. Okay. Puzzled. And then he goes on to say, so John the Baptist, he came with no bread and no drinking of wine or anything like that. He was a Nazarite. You know, he basically, you know, was separated from birth, ate locusts and wild honey, if you want to know a good diet. And they say, he has a demon. You're saying he has a demon. And then I came and I ate and drank. And you said, look at him, he's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Then he says, yet wisdom is justified by all the children. What it's basically saying is that we have a system that's set up here, and you're not following it. We're playing music, and you're not dancing. We're singing a funeral song, and you're not mourning. You're doing your own thing over here. And he's saying, listen, but wisdom, what's really true, what really matters, is going to show what will happen at the end. It will be justified. It will prove that it's true. And I'm telling you, many people will look at your lives through your life, and some will judge you rightly, and some will judge you wrongly. Some will say, oh, you're a Christian, it's never going to work for you. I tried it years ago, never worked for me. Or I tried, you know, praying when I had this thing going on in my life, and it never worked out. And so they're going to be telling you that you're not going to receive what you're going to get. You're not going to be able to say, he never stops working in my life. You're not going to be able to say you've got a champion who's making you undefeated. You know, there's people out there that will talk to you right. Like that. The world on this stage right now is turning away from Christianity, a lot of them. They don't want the things of God in their life because they're running the opposite way. They don't want something that reminds them of their condition that they're in. That their heart's deceitfully wicked,
yeah.
And that they need a savior. And so they're running the furthest away they can. Now, we as lights can shine in this and be bright and hopefully shine our light in such a way that people will be drawn to Christ. But it looks, if you look with your eyes, it looks like they're going the opposite way. That's why we're making this declaration over the city.
Right.
So that the kingdom of God can start working in hearts and lives. You know, it needs to penetrate the darkness. Before I knew Christ, my heart got penetrated with dark from the darkness. Something broke in, and his light started to shine in my heart, and I started to waken to the things of God. I started to receive the truth, and I started to come alive inside, because before I was dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you can die once as a Christian, you know, and when you receive Christ and when you're born again, it says you'll never die again. I say that scriptures at funerals, you know, where Jesus says, you know, Martha, I am the resurrection life. He who believes in me, though he should perish, he will not really die. Though he dies, he's going to live forever.
Right.
In other words, death is like a what do I want to call it? A illusion. to us as believers.
Right.
It looks like we're dead. Many times the Bible says that we're sleeping. I digress. The wisdom is justified by her children. Guess what? We can be the children of wisdom. We can be children that are different from the children of the world. Let's take a look at another verse.
Proverbs 3:13-18. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, and her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed.
I mean, you're talking about some promises here for living in wisdom. It says here, oops, come on. Here we go. Oh. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. Now, keep in mind, this is before the New Testament. This is the Old Testament. This is Proverbs. This is Solomon writing this. This is before the Holy Spirit was poured into our hearts and our lives because of Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven and him releasing it on the day of Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. So wisdom is much more closer to us than then. But the thing is that it's still something we have to find. We have to search for it. We have to allow ourselves to not just be, what I want to call it, manipulated by this life, where we let it tune us and twist us or conform, as Romans 12:2 says. Don't let this life conform you to the ways of this life. We have to make sure that we're holding fast to wisdom. So what does that mean? It means that to hold fast to wisdom, you have to reject lunacy. Mm-hmm. You have to reject lies. You have to reject things that are not the truth. Even though they want to, you know, life sometimes shows us, as I said earlier, or tries to show us, let's put it this way, that the things that we are believing aren't always working. You know, I think we've had testimonies in here before, like where she had one leg healed. The other leg wasn't healed yet, right? The Lord took care of it, but that doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't heal us, right? Just because we don't see the answer right away. Skyly, right? Just because we don't see that answer right away doesn't mean that he's not healing us. Doesn't mean that his healing isn't flowing through us. You know, your asthma, I believe, is not going to be your asthma someday. It's going to be back in the pit of hell where it belongs. Amen. That thing that in, don't even like to call it yours because it's really not yours. It's the devil's that he tries to put on you. But the thing is that we have symptoms. We have things in our lives. And has anybody seen the latest first and second episode of season 3 of The Chosen yet? Nobody here. Well, Gay and I saw it. And I have to tell you, there's a scene with little James. It's a spoiler. Eric's like, spoiler? Thanks a lot. There's a scene with little James that basically, between him and Jesus, that puts some of that into perspective. I'll put it that way. I won't spoil it for you. What's that? In the Bible? Not that scene. No, remember, it's he adds on because we don't know exactly what all the conversations are. Eric's like,
can we go back to the searching for wisdom?
Searching for wisdom.
Okay,
finding wisdom.
Let's go back to searching for wisdom. I'm reminded of when we were going back and forth over the mountain, and it was during this season when Aaron was in the hospital.
Right.
And at Children's Hospital, it is such a doom and gloom place. It even though they're spouting hope, you get caught up in the feeling like there's sick kids in there, really sick kids. And ours was really sick. And he was in ICU, and it took.
He was like in an iron lung. Almost.
Yeah, it took everything in my willpower to take myself up out of that and speak life and hope and Jesus in his ear, because there were nurses on the other side oh, don't think he's going to get out of here. Don't think he's going to come off, you know, the breathing apparatus. Don't think this. And so it was everything within us to pull ourselves up and out. Will God just overwhelm you with that? Sometimes he does. But he says, blessed is the one who finds wisdom, which tells me someone's looking. God sometimes gives wisdom, but sometimes we have to go look for it. So where are your efforts going? What are you doing? Are you sitting in the depths of despair, hoping that the Lord's going to come and drop wisdom on you? Or are you taking the life of Jesus and moving out of that situation, and you speak life into that situation, and you speak hope where there is no hope and peace where there is no peace? We have the capabilities of doing that in the Lord. He gives that to us. So what are we doing? Are we sitting in the midst and dooming and glooming? Or are we sitting in the power of God, knowing he's got a plan here, and it's a yes and an amen plan, and it's not some plan that has been put in this little box because it's children's hospital, and you know the kids are sick, and all of that stuff. No, it's the opportunity he gives us to show other parents or Christians, or whatever the situation is, how not to get caught up in that gloom and despair. So what are you speaking life? It's my favorite scripture. I love it so much. Or are you speaking death over your situation?
That's good.
Is it sounding like, oh, I'm really sick today, and I don't think I'm even going to get out of bed because I just feel so bad? Well, or is it, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. I opened my eyes this morning. I drew in a breath this morning. I see that the sun has risen this morning. You may still be laying in the same bed, but you are speaking a different, power-giving, life-giving conversation out of you. And I will tell you, I've seen people do that have gotten up out of that bed. Did it take them a while? Sometimes. But they got up out of that bed. So I'm telling you, Aaron came off of that machine and came home. There is life and power when we seek for what the Lord tells us to seek for. Don't seek for things that are just temporary. That's all life is. How much power are you putting into that whole this whole life? It's just, it's a vapor, guys. We are such spiritual beings, and we live like we're not.
Right. That's good.
Sorry.
No, that's good. But the gain from her is better than the gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. I mean, you think about that. I mean, that's what you're talking about right there. That the individual laying in bed saying, no, 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 there's sun shining. I have breath in my lungs.
I open my eyes.
That's realizing that what I have right now is better than even silver or gold. No money, no notoriety. It's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Nothing we desire can compare with the wisdom of God. And we'll see where wisdom comes from for us as believers now. It says long life. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. So it's amazing that, you know, we can say that, you know, if we're not going to go and seek for ourselves to get riches, to get wealth, to get silver and gold, that when we choose God's wisdom, in his time, he'll give us what we need as far as riches and honor go. You know, I think the greatest riches, folks, is the riches that we receive in Christ Jesus' righteousness. That no longer are we standing in our own righteousness. We're standing in his righteousness, and we're standing right before God. We have full access to the Father, the creator of all things, to go before his throne and look for help and mercy in time of need. Amen?
Amen.
Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. Those who hold fast. See, it's like, it's telling us that wisdom God, the Holy Spirit, you can wrap it all together, is something we have to grasp. We have to hold on to, because things will try to tear it out of our hands. Life will try to get us to the place where we just let go because we give up. Don't give up. A successful Christian, I'm telling you what a successful Christian life is, not giving up. That's it. Not quitting. It's not like how many times you read your Bible, how many times you've gone to church, how many times you did all the spiritual calisthenics, or how many people you won to the Lord. No, it's not giving up. If you continue to fight the fight of faith, you'll be successful as a Christian. That's it.
Esther's had 20 surgeries.
Yeah.
Had she given up at surgery 5, today's victory would not have been spoken as life. Think about that.
Amen.
She could have said, oh, this is way too hard. I'm not doing it anymore. But life would not have been spoken out today. And God can use and will use anybody. It's not this man is the only one. No, if a man won't do it, God will choose a woman. He doesn't care. When he speaks about his kids, it's both of us. So if you have some life-giving words to say, say them. Speak them. Speak life over somebody.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Sorry.
And the thing is, we don't know when Jesus heals us the way that he heals us. You guys all know I was in the hospital. You know, I went through a terrible surgery, you know, almost died. You guys prayed for me. You know, thank you all for everyone that did that. But I'm telling you that while I was in there, I believe that the Lord allowed his light to shine. Mm-hmm. And I was able to touch lives. It's one of the only really good things that I can say that came to through that is that what the enemy meant for evil, God used for good. Mm-hmm. And is still using for good. You know, God didn't give me COVID. You know, God didn't cause me to throw a blood clot, but he took what the enemy meant for evil in my life and made it good. That reminds me of what happened to you. One leg was healed. Why didn't he heal both? Well, he didn't at that time, but that gal was touched by your first leg being healed. How did this happen? And then another miracle, the appointment canceled. Right? So you were being a testimony to that woman.
Yes.
You were showing her that God's at work in my life.
Yes.
That is healing. Maybe not healing for your other leg, but that may have healed that woman's heart to the place where she's going to be open to receive the things of God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's so good.
All right. Proverbs, again, 1:20-21.
Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voice. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks.
You know what this is saying? Wisdom is available, folks. As a matter of fact, she's ready to pour herself upon you. But unfortunately, it's this, but no one's listening. No one's listening. You know, any president who sits in the White House, wisdom's available for them. I don't care what party they are, what denomination they are. It doesn't matter. Wisdom is available. I believe wisdom's available to even unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Because God wants to see this world transformed. And when we get wisdom as unbelievers, guess what we start to do? Believe. Because we start to receive the wisdom of God, we start to see truth. Mm-hmm. We don't see all the lies in the enemy anymore. We see the truth of God. And when we receive the truth of God, what do we receive?
Wisdom.
Well, we receive Christ because he is the truth.
But I believe that as we receive wisdom, we begin to speak wisdom.
Right, correct.
And give it out. And what do people need so desperately? Wisdom and truth.
The problem
and life
is,
and
exactly. And did you notice as the noisy streets?
Yeah.
Is our world full of noise?
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, look at social media. You know, don't be on social media too much, or you're going to be trapped in the noise. I'm telling you right now. Like me, if I watch too much, you know, newscasts or vlogs or whatever it is, if I do it, it starts to become noise in my head, and I can't hear the voice of God. It becomes difficult. But wisdom is there even in the noisy places if we'll open our hearts.
Yeah.
Here's another verse, Proverbs again, 4:5-8, 5-8.
Get wisdom, get insight. Do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her.
I mean, you're talking about promises here. These are promises that if we get wisdom and get insight, not forget her, she's going to keep us. If we love her, she's going to guard us. And I love this part. What is the beginning of wisdom? We'll look at another where it says what is the beginning of the wisdom. But if the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom,
mm-hmm.
What does that mean? If you really want wisdom, get it. That's the best. That is the beginning of wisdom.
Yeah.
Here's another verse.
Proverbs 8:32-36. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death.
Wow. How many have ever read Proverbs 8? Anybody? Proverbs 8? That whole chapter is about wisdom. And then the first like 10 or 12 verses of 9 is completely about wisdom. So if you want to read about wisdom, the end of chapter 3 of Proverbs is about wisdom. I mean, a lot of the Bible in Proverbs is about wisdom. But saying, listen, sons, listen to me. Sons, daughters, listen. Keep my ways. Hear my instructions. Be wise. Don't neglect it. That's what I'm trying to keep you guys from doing, is neglecting what's available to you. Because if we neglect wisdom, what's going to happen? Well, we're going to fail. It says, but he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. She's calling out from the gates. We're to look for her beside the doors. In other words, every place that we're going, if you notice gates, entrance, coming and going, outdoors is where we're going. Wisdom is so that we can live a life when we're doing things, when we're at work, when we're interacting with our family, wisdom is part of life, should be part of life. We should be known as people of wisdom. We should be known as, you know, when I think of Joseph, he was a man of wisdom, not just a prophetic man. He was a man of wisdom. When he got the dream from the king and he knew what the interpretation was, and the individual that needed to have the answer was the one who interpreted the dream, because Joseph had wisdom. I believe that we should be people, but when people talk to us, they realize that we had the answer for things. That we're not just full of questions, or we're not just complaining, that we see what the answers are. Why is that? Because our wisdom comes from heaven. We have the mind of Christ. We don't have to operate in our own intellect.
Right.
Some people say, Pastor, what you said was so amazing. He said, well, if you would have known me when I was younger, I stumbled over my words. I couldn't really put things together all the time. But I have the mind of Christ now. And so I have an anointing to be able to speak, because it's the mind of Christ.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Proverbs 9:10. 9:10-11.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life.
And go ahead and read Psalm 110, or 111, sorry.
Psalm 111:10.
111:10, yeah.
Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever.
So this is a key. This is a key to getting wisdom. I'm telling everybody, you got to get wisdom. You're like, okay, that sounds good. I want to get wisdom. So how do I get it? Well, it begins with the fear of the Lord. A heart that says, Lord, I need you in my life. I can't do this on my own. As a matter of fact, when I try to do things myself, I fail.
Right.
When I try to do it on my own, I don't succeed. So Lord, I need you in my life. It's humility, folks. It really is. True humility will help the fear of the Lord come in your heart. And what is humility? Humility means saying again, I can't do this. I give up. That's how I came to Christ. I realized I could not do this life on my own anymore. And so that was the start of wisdom for me, is when I came to Christ, because I said, I'm going to fear you, Lord. I'm going to trust in you. And it's not fear that he's going to hurt you, or fear that if you don't do something right, he's going to step on you. It's not that kind of fear. It's a fear. It's a reverence and an awe. It's realizing that this is the one who created all that we see, everything we see. When you look into space through the James Webb telescope, and you see all these new, nebulas and everything in bright, clear technicolor, and you're going, wow, I mean, those are like 8 million light years away, and you created that. I'm part of that creation. But more than that, I'm part of you now. That's the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's where you start the steps to living and living in wisdom. I believe in the mind of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. All right. Trying to get through this. I think quite a few scriptures. James 1, 5 through 7 is another way to get wisdom.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord.
So again, if we start in the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. And then what do we do next? We ask for wisdom. Mm-hmm. Lord, I don't know what to do here. I need your wisdom for this situation. I need your wisdom for how to move forward in talking to this person. Maybe there's someone you've got to call, and you've got a delicate situation you need to talk to him about. Lord, I need your wisdom in speaking to them. When we sit down, let you be the one that talks through me and not me myself. Not let it be my own thoughts, my own understanding, but let you talk through me. And he will. I'm telling you, he will. Sometimes he'll do it even without you asking, because you're in Christ. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a situation and I go away and I say, where did those words come from? Anybody else? Where did those words come from? That wasn't me. That was wisdom. That was the Holy Spirit working in you. But we have to ask. If we lack it, we have to ask. We have not. Why? Because we ask not. Yep.
Well, and I'm just going to say a side note. If you have something to say to somebody and you need wisdom, please do not text message them. He always says that. Don't text. There's too much that can be taken out of context when you text message somebody. Call them.
For a delicate situation.
Life. Yes.
Yeah, if you're telling somebody late, you can text. Or if you're telling...
On my way.
On your way, or something simple. Yes, some information. But if you have to...
Delicate.
If you have to communicate something that's from the heart, don't use text. All right. A couple more verses. This is James again.
3:13-7. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere.
That's a lot, isn't it? So who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Wisdom should be something that we see in our lives. You know, some people say, boy, that person's a good Christian. The way they live, most likely you're saying, wow, I'm seeing wisdom. I'm seeing wisdom in action. I'm seeing a life full of wisdom. It says, but if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. So what is this saying? This isn't the kind of wisdom that comes from down from heaven. If you're seeing somebody whose behavior doesn't reflect Christ, you're not seeing wisdom. You're seeing the opposite. So where does wisdom come from? It comes from above. It's first pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's open to reason, not argumentative, full of mercy, good fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, impartial and sincere. See why we need to get wisdom?
Yeah.
I believe, and I mean, this could be like a multiple series, but if you go to Isaiah chapter 11, the first few verses talk about Jesus and what he's going to receive as the Messiah. And he receives the seven spirits of God, the spirit of a Holy Spirit, spirit of wisdom and understanding, spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. And if you notice, the first one there was wisdom. And he walked in wisdom. Have you ever read the way that he interacted with the Pharisees? Holds up a coin. Hey, should we give this this coin to Caesar? I mean, because you know, you say that you're all about God. Should we give this coin to Caesar? He says, whose inscription's on it? Caesar. Well, give to Caesar then what's Caesar, and to God what's God. Okay. You know, every time they asked him a question, wisdom spoke. We don't have to read that and go, oh, I would like to be like Jesus. I wish I could. You don't have to wish. You don't have to hope. All you have to do is start living in who you are. I mean, we are, as I've said before, little Christs. That's who we're to be. That's why that radical song, "You Are My Champion," you know, you're undefeated, and at the very end says, I am who you say I am. When I open my mouth, miracles start breaking. I mean, you know, these kind of things are what we should expect in our lives. And if we're not seeing it now, it doesn't mean it's not going to happen. We don't let our past, our present, predict what our future is going to be. Who predicts our future? Christ. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that's going to say, this is what your future is. Doesn't matter what has happened to us before. Let those experiences teach you, train you, if you have to be challenged by them. But don't let them hold you back from Christ's best, from what God the Father wants for us. We need bright, shining lights in this day. We need courageous Christians, not people who are afraid to say that they're believers. We need people who speak wisdom in such a way that people are drawn to what we have, and they want what we have. They hunger for what we have. I believe that we are a people of wisdom, that I'm looking at wise guys, wise women, to make a joke. I'm looking at people full of wisdom. All we have to do is let it start activating in us, being alive in us, not letting our own understanding take over. You know, you easily can let your own understanding take over. You start seeing a situation, oh, I've ran into this before. I've done this before. I know just what to do. I did that the other day. I said, oh, I know how to take care of this. And I did. I took care of it. But you know what? I took 3 or 4 phone calls. And I bet if I would have just said, Lord, give me your wisdom, he would have said, just make this phone call. I'll take care of it. Instead of all the other hassle I had to run through. I'm not perfect. I still want to receive all the wisdom and operate in the mind of Christ. But like you, I have to remind myself that it's available to me. That I'm not sitting here in a deficit. I'm not in a deficit. I've said this before and I'll say it again. You're not lacking any of God. When you received the Holy Spirit, you received all of God. We're not groping for something outside of us to get it in us. No. What we're needing to do is start realizing by faith, believing and operating as if it's a finished work, which it is. When he says it is finished, it was a finished work. And as we receive that, we receive a finished work. Sure, we have to walk it out in sanctification. But what's in us is already the full potential of God. We're not lacking one good thing.
Just like you said,
we've been given all things. All things. What is all? We've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. Yes. So I have all things I need for life, and I have all things I need for godliness. I'm not lacking anything. Only thing that I'm lacking is the ability to fully walk in it. And do I sometimes, you know, feel, oh, I'm falling short? Yeah, that's part of that sin nature. I'm falling short of the glory of God. But that doesn't mean I'm going to stay there, because I've been crucified with Christ. And it's not me who lives anymore. It's Christ in me that's living. And this life I'm going to continue to live by faith, I'm going to live by faith in the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Amen? You have anything else? Sorry, I rattled there for a while. Okay. Does anyone have anything else they want to share? Anyone? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are our wisdom and that we have you in us. And we know we need to get wisdom, Lord, but you're there. And so I pray that for each and every one of us, we would start living as individuals that already have wisdom inside of us. Wisdom available to us in difficult times, in times where we need to make a decision or move forward, or we need to communicate something to someone. Lord, let your wisdom come alive in us. Let this life, Lord, that we now live in the flesh, Lord, let it be as if we've been fully crucified and that we don't live it anymore, but you live in us. Lord, we thank you that all we need for everything in this life has already been given to us. We have everything in this life that's come from you, and we have everything we need to be godly, to live a godly life, to be one that helps bring change and transformation to our environment. It's already there. So Lord, let that life that we now live be in the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself freely for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
And when I lift my voice and shout, yeah.
so much that you call us a conqueror, more than a conqueror. I thank you, God, that we are all victorious, God, because when we walk with you, Lord, we're on the winning side. God, I just pray, Lord, that as we learned about wisdom today, God, we would walk in wisdom, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for the testimonies that we heard today. And I just pray that we would carry that testimony as our own in our own healing, in our own bodies, in our own relationships. God, I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you that you are good, God. And I just declare peace over everyone's week, over everyone's work week, over everyone's school week, over the time we get with our friends and our family. We thank you so much that you're with us wherever we go, that we don't just come into a building to meet you and leave you here when we walk out, but Lord, we get to be with you wherever we go. So I just bless every home represented here. We thank you so much, God, for what you're doing in this place and in our lives. And we thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.